If you have nothing, okay, cut them loose. This is the recent chase that happened over there. You have to have a legal basis to fire your weapon, to use force against people, to stop people. Some people are under this misconception somehow Washington is a special place. The Constitution applies the same in Washington, D.C., as it does in New York as well. And the amount of rounds and the fact that they even fired rounds at her, any ammunition at her in the first place, is inconsistent with their training. That's our position.
As Eric Sanders just said, you are a retired police sergeant
as well?
Yes. So your thought on how the police and Secret Service dealt with this?
Well, I felt that I believe they didn't follow protocol. I don't believe that firing at a moving car, a moving vehicle, is justifiable. My sister was unarmed, and I don't believe that deadly physical force was necessary.
There was a first anniversary event marking the first year since your sister was killed. How did your family pay tribute to your sister?
We traveled to Washington, D.C. To actually follow her final steps of her life, and we did a butterfly release in her honor.
Can you tell us in this last few seconds about what you believe her mental state may have been at the time?
I cannot speak as to what her mental state was. I can say that I believe my sister was in fear for her life. She was in fear for her daughter's life. My 13-year-old niece, who was in the back seat of her vehicle. 13-month-old niece, who was in the back seat of the vehicle, which I'm more than certain that the officers were able to see that there was a child in a car. And they didn't have any regard for my sister or my niece as they shot 5 times to my sister's back.
We're going to leave it there, but continue this discussion and post it online. Valerie Carey, as well as David Montgomery and Eric Sanders, thanks so much for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mather.
This is Donna with your WUSB Concert Billboard. Your Concert Billboard for Wednesday, March 18th, Nina and Satsuma will be at that meatball place in Patchogue, beginning 6:30. Richie Fury, with Empty Pockets, will be at City Winery in Manhattan at 8. The Henry Girls will be at Bob's in Brooklyn. The Don Hahn, Mike Macchiavelli, will be at Fat Cat in Manhattan. 9 p.m. Your concert billboard for Thursday, March 19th. Jeff Scrogan's Amara Levine will be at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village, 7:30. Dave and Phil Alvin with The Guilty Ones and Farfest will be at City Winery in Manhattan, 8 p.m. So Live will be at the Brooklyn Bowl. Synchro Set will be at Barbecue in Patchogue. The Egg will be at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, 8:30. Willie Nile will be at Rock Trade in Brooklyn, 8:30.
I'm Bill McNulty, host of Lunch on Thursday, coming to you each Thursday between 11 and 1 here at WUSB. And this has been the WUSB Concert Billboard prepared for you, our listeners, so that you can get out and visit the various locations around the island where local musicians, artists, and composers can present to you nothing but the best music that you'd ever want to hear.
Hello, good evening. It is 6:02 tonight at WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM, the most dangerous station all across the nation and all across the world, streaming at WUSB.FM. We've got a lot of interesting programming here for you tonight. Not the least of which, because it's Tuesday, and it's 6:03, is Off the Wall. Enjoy. 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 Happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank you. Well, good evening.
It is a good evening.
You're listening to Off the Wall. I'm your host, Kyle.
And I'm your co-host, Emmanuel.
Hi there, Emmanuel. Welcome.
Hello, Kyle. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Okay, now this isn't going to be the plain talking...
We're trying to be professionals here. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but it's too robotic.
We're trying something new.
Good evening. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well.
Well, thank you very much for that. You know, we haven't really done anything today that's St. Patrick's Day oriented. I remember in the past we've woken up to Guinness.
Yes.
Literally woken up. Here, have a Guinness while he's still in bed. I'm not saying that's an Irish thing. I'm saying that's a St. Patrick's Day thing, and it's kind of cool. We haven't had any such things yet today. I say yet because the day is still young. It's only a little after six.
It is young, yes. We have not done any of these typical Irish festive type things yet.
I'm wearing green. Look at this. I am actually wearing green for once. I never did that before.
I'm wearing green too.
Your green is so dark that it looks black to me, but I'll believe you if you say that's green. Look,
it is.
I have coffee here, and I have a green straw. Huh? That's pretty good.
That's an amazing coincidence.
The logo of the place that I got the coffee from has... It's got green around it. Obviously, they're Irish, too. But the point is, it's a fun day.
The CD2, the pot, has a green... yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? Pot number five, and pot number four next to it used to be green.
Oh, really?
So wiped away from use. I don't know how that happened, but it's white now.
That happens. I guess it happens. When you use stuff.
Actually, I'm noticing now the board, a lot of the pots, and by pot, I mean potentiometer. And by potentiometer, I mean big black round dial that we turn up to raise the volume. I'll give you a tour of the board. Why not? The first three pots, there are 10 altogether, 10 big pots.
Okay, 10. Five on each side, right?
Imagine your radio dial. Wait, I have to imagine a radio for them to imagine a radio dial. What has a big round knob these days?
Washing machine. Dishwasher.
People still use those? Okay, a big dial. You know what? I'm sure people can figure out what a big dial is. It's a board with 10 knobs. The first three are for microphones. Mic 1, which you're on, Kyle. Say something.
Hello.
That was mic 1. I am on mic 3.
Yeah.
Why am I on mic 3? Mic 2 is the telephone. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. That's here, too. By the way, we're...
You'll totally hear that later. Well, maybe you hear that now.
Yeah, you can totally hear it right now.
That's... And mic 2, as you can see, has a horrible staticky problem when you turn it up and down. So we need to clean that somehow. You can turn it off now. Yeah.
Now, calling the operator.
You will never get the operator on those phones.
Yeah, it's going to be a long wait. Well, just...
See? That's what you get. That's kind of like our theme song. That should be our real theme song. Cannot complete your request. All right, let me continue our tour. So, that's pots 1 through 3.
Yes.
And there, each pot has other things it can do as well. For instance... mic number 3 I'm speaking on right now can be switched out so that's a microphone coming from a different room, like in the conference room, for instance.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have the other mixer.
That's what the switch is on top of for. We're not going to get into that this week.
Yeah, that's advanced.
Pots 4 and 5 are, they used to be purely turntable pots, and they're green. Oh, did I mention that pots 1 through 3 are red? Or they're supposed to be red. They were red.
Now they're silver.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to them. Pots 4 and 5, green, they were for turntables, turntable 1 and turntable 9.
Okay.
I don't know why we did it that way. And then we have CDs now. The switches on top indicate whether you're going from turntable. Actually, you know what? The turntables moved. They moved the turntables over to the next set of pots because they used to be those ones. And now they're just CD players. Okay, I stand corrected. That takes us over to pots 5 and 6, which are amber in color. And those used to be for tape machines only. Reel-to-reel number 1, we called it the upper Atari. And the one below it was called the lower Atari. The tape decks were Atari tape decks. And we had Ampex tape decks in the other room.
Right.
So, but now the turntables. Now the amber pots are devoted to turntables. There's one there labeled cassette, which I imagine is our cassette player, which might even still work. And then there's one switch for the mixer up there. So that's what those are for. Then the white pot, number 8, is that's what delay comes out over.
It's all the way over here.
Yeah, that's the sound of that. So when we take phone calls later, not only will you hear the phone calls coming from pot three, that will be coming out along with our voices through pot number eight.
Yeah, it goes over here.
Which, by the way, that's is a monopot. Pot number eight is a monopot, just so you know that.
Delays over there.
There are other things you can do with it. It's very versatile. This board is very versatile. It was built in the 60s and can do all kinds of things. And finally, our last two pots, 9 and 10, are blue. And they used to be for carts, cartridges that you would play announcements or PSAs or things like that. And now it's been pot number 9, which somebody put a red dot in the middle of the blue there.
I see that.
That's for our computer. The computer comes out of a pot 9. And pot number 10 is the DigiCart, which replaces the cart machine that we had. And I miss the cart machine.
And we were having some issues with that earlier. If you listened to the concert calendar, you heard a DigiCart. And yeah, I think it was coming out of one speaker or the other. Couldn't fix it while we did that. But you know what? That's a unique broadcast you get here. And so, yeah, it might have been in one channel. But that was a slight oversight, and I think it's purely just the maintenance of the DigiCart, which I don't think a lot of people like. That's like the least favorite piece of equipment.
Let me explain why I don't like the DigiCart, because in true engineer fashion, when I say engineer in that condescending, mocking tone of mine while simultaneously spitting on the ground, I don't mean to put down all engineers. I just mean to put down those ones that think they have all the answers and that the end user is the person that has the least say in anything. That is how you wind up with basically a two-line display with very limited number of characters. How many characters would you say that display goes across on the DigiCart there? What, 20?
It's probably some standard, like, 32x2, or it's a long, it's green.
There's not enough space to type out what something is.
It's like the bluish-green pixel.
Yeah.
LCD. No, it's not LCD. It's like, it's not the lime green. It's LED? How do you even describe it?
Wait, where else do you see that? You see that in other places.
VCR?
I guess VCR-type display. But it's two lines, about 20 characters across on each, right? Maybe 15.
Very little information, though.
So see, on the old carts, we would write what the cart is.
Yeah.
And when it expires, and it would be color-coded, so you'd know what kind, you know, legal IDs would be red. Oh, more color-coding. Legal IDs would be red. Image IDs would be blue.
Right.
A legal ID, by the way,
right,
is WUSB Stony Brook. An image ID. Well, okay, you want to give the image ID? Because I know you've been giving a few of those.
Is 90.1 FM.
Sure. Or WUSB, anything else in the middle, and then Stony Brook. That's an image ID because it's not a legal ID. So
okay.
An image ID is anything but a legal ID.
That was actually a really good guess. But
yes.
But I that was another mistake. If you're following along, if you're playing Kyle's Engineering and Hosting Mistakes Bingo, you might have scored a point when I gave the legal ID incorrectly today, and I repeated myself so that it was correct.
Well, you basically got two for one. You got an image ID followed immediately by a legal ID. And not every station does that.
Both were sort of correct, but just one was legal, one was more image.
Yeah, you had an image slash legal ID there. That's a rarity. That's like the moon eclipsing the sun and Jupiter at the same time.
That's awesome. I didn't know that I had such power. But that's great because, I mean, now I've shared it with people and other students, other people that are here will know exactly the difference and they'll be able to come and do awesome radio here.
Continuing with my lecture on carts, though.
I know.
Green was PSAs. I think yellow was for actual music. A lot of stations in the 80s and even up to the 90s, I think, would play their songs on carts. When we say carts, it's a cartridge. Imagine an 8-track. Oh, my God, we have carts here. Why do we have carts still? They're still here. We don't have anything anywhere that can play those. Wow, that's what they sound like. Okay, you drop one on the floor, and it went underneath the board. So you need to get that.
Okay, I'll get that here.
Never be found. It'll never be missed.
Jerry's folk theme. Themes.
Okay. Theme. Jerry, I'm not sure which Jerry that is, but if you're looking for your folk theme, we just found it.
Pacifica Morning Cart.
Well, someone just scrawled on Magic Marker. This isn't really the way we used to do it. You could basically, you had a system where you could write things and you knew where they were. And they were right in front of you and they were color-coded. This stupid device, it's only two lines of text, all caps, And unless you know the exact name of what it is you're going to play, you'll never find it. You will never be able to track it down. So that's another instance of engineers coming up with a solution to something. And what are all those buttons for? There's so many buttons on this thing. It's the same complaint I have for DVD remotes. They have something like 25 or 30 buttons on them, and the only buttons I ever use are stop, play, you know, scan, forward, power, eject, things like that. I've never been able to figure out what the 1, 2, 3, what those buttons are for. Have you ever used those, Kyle? Be honest.
Other buttons on the Digicart?
No, on the DVD remote. I'm complaining about that now.
See, like, to, like, actually dial in a chapter or a time. Like, the number, the numerical keys.
I thought it would
keys.
Work for chapters, but it didn't.
Yeah, maybe. I don't really know. On
the
a DVD player.
The buttons are so tiny that you're always hitting the wrong ones, you know? And
right.
Bad things are happening as a result of that.
I don't think I have. That's
and
a good
cable
question.
Remotes? Okay, let me get started on cable remotes. They are so sensitive. If you just brush aside, you're going to do something that you don't want to do, like change the channel or something like that. Mm. Really annoying. So annoying. Phone interfaces, just not intuitive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the crux of it. And I think that's right here. It's like you've got the user buttons and keys sort of mixed in with the same seriousness and size as the administrative sort of programming mm-hmm. keys. And so you're using this maybe casually, and you just have to use this arrow, you know, to go into a menu, and you hit DNet Exfer. You don't know what DNet Exfer is, but you just accidentally
it's probably
bumped
something
it.
It's useful
right to maybe an administrator, somebody that's, you know, really programming it or
right.
doing something.
There's a button on there that says erase. You can just erase things. Actually, you're supposed to hit a button like that to cue things up, but it's not intuitive.
Well,
and
you can tell that these are seldom used too, because these are worn.
Yes,
because people use those all the time, those two, but the other buttons, it's just very rarely used. So
the analog card, it's like an 8-track cartridge, right? And people know what those look like. For some reason, I don't know why, because so few people ever had those. And it's an endless loop of magnetic tape. And there are varying lengths. A standard length was 70 seconds, but there were also 90 seconds. There were some that went on for 10 minutes. And there's a little cue tone that's in them. And when it loops around, the machine hears that tone. You don't hear it, but the machine hears it. And stops. And then you hit the start button, it plays again. And that's basically how radio stations used to play commercials, songs, PSAs, everything. Of course, magnetic tape doesn't sound quite as good, but I got to tell you, I don't think the Digicart sounds any better.
Well, it certainly didn't today because it was missing a channel.
It was missing
something
a channel, yes.
The channel. I don't know what
absolutely.
Was going on with that.
You know, if you had a cart, if you were playing a cart, you could say, okay, I'm going to take the cart out and put it in the other machine. Maybe it'll work better there. And then you know what the problem is. Is it the machine? Is it the cart? At one time, we had three cart machines, or a cart machine with three different slots.
Okay.
You could play three things at once. Try playing more than one thing at once on the Digicart. You can't do it.
See, that,
why would you want to do it, the engineer says.
That would be cool.
No creative reason in my head.
Well, if my information is correct, I think we have enough Digicarts here at Stony Brook to get three of them going. But we'd probably have to put an individual channel for each one to have it all in one rack or one device. That's swell, but that's what you get when, you know, the old stuff goes out and there's that little tricky thing that you could do, and then oh, the new thing, yep, no, nope,
and sorry. When you complain about it, people call you a Luddite and they say get off my lawn. That's what you know, you don't know what kids today are up to.
Yeah, that's
some
stupid.
Some things are better than other things that are newer. The newer things aren't always better than the older things. For instance, landlines. We discuss this all the time on the other show. Landlines, better phone quality. You can hear people much clearer.
Yeah.
They stay up after hurricanes. For some reason, they don't blow down quite as easily as the electric does. I don't know. It's just something that is more of a standard. The quality of our voices, just listen to any call-in show, has gotten worse over the last 20 years because of cell phones. Now, if we could improve the sound quality, that'd be great. But that doesn't seem to be priority.
Yeah, I think that if other technologies were as ubiquitous as the old copper telephone system, they'd maybe be practical, or we'd consider them. We'd say, you know, well, I'll come up with a battery system, but I know that I can count on my such and such connection, whether that's shortwave or fiber optics or whatever it is. But nothing can really match it as far as the ubiquity. We've for a long time in this country had a real diversity of connectivity choices, because we have a big free market, as we all like to feel so good about. But the point is, that diversity has made it so that there's the older things, the things that really predated the diversity, e.g. divestiture, were copper. I mean, that was pretty much it. It was everywhere, like your pair of phone lines. Mm-hmm. And to that end, when we introduced competition, you have smaller rollouts, if I can use the word, or smaller deployments of one or the other type of network, but it's not ubiquitous, it's not everywhere. And then, of course, the failings, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like actual infrastructure, like physical in that sense. With wireless, it gets even weirder because, yeah, it's physical to a point, and then it's in the air where it has all kinds of susceptibilities to like interference and other things. And then it's in your pocket, so it's about the battery life of mobile. And so it's kind of both with wireless phones. But other things are small. They're only in metropolitan areas, or you know, your fiber optic is only one broadband company, and it's maybe limited, or they have you kind of in a walled garden. So it's about things really becoming wider spread so that you can count on them, or the technology's widely known and widely used and large enough network. You don't have anything that really compares to that, compares to the old POTS network in that regard.
True. I mean, you know, new devices, they can do all kinds of amazing things, and it's fun to play with, but it's not the same thing as having a means of communication where you could speak to another person and understand them legibly, both speak at the same time without one canceling out the other so nobody hears anybody. That's what we have today. And I think, you know, there is definitely a place for each of these. To wipe out one for the other is a mistake. And that's exactly what's happening. And the phone companies, believe it or not, are the ones pushing for this. If you are a Verizon customer, you will at some point be pressured to switch over to Fios, fiber in the home. And sounds great, really tempting, all kinds of neat data speeds, and you can get TV and things over that, but you lose something too. First of all, you lose the ability to go back to the way it was. You lose having a phone line when you have no power. Fios requires power. After a while, you're going to run out of battery, and then you won't have any means of communication.
Unless you spend the time to build something beyond what it's...
But even that's going to run out of power at some point.
Right.
The central office has generators, and that's what keeps the copper lines going. There's power that goes through the phone lines to make your bell ring. It's a good means of just staying in touch. Now, you might not think that you're going to lose power all that often, but nobody thinks that's going to happen until it happens. I don't want to sound like a survivalist, but this is something around here that happens quite a bit. Every storm, with our wires out in the trees, a lot of people lose power. It's a really good thing to have the phone. And plus, again, I just think it sounds better.
Or even embrace the diversity of methods we have, so that the several of them maybe come with you in the event of an outage, and then when your wireless maybe is not holding up or it's overloaded with people trying to text, then you have a landline or something else. And that diversity is also a strength.
I agree. I wish we could have vinyl and CDs. You know, sort of a mix of the two. I think you also saw a lot of outcry when CDs were introduced, and a lot of people couldn't hear the difference, but a lot of people could hear a difference. And they were mocked by the people who couldn't hear a difference, but there is a difference. And I mean, I hear it today in the same music that I play digitally that I used to play on an analog device, and it definitely doesn't have the same amount of power. Whether or not you need that when you're jogging or just listening on your computer or whatever, that's open to debate. But I think there is definitely a difference.
Yeah. Oh, man, that takes me back. It reminds me of just the temporal nature of vinyl. The record itself is being worn through the process of listening to it. You could argue that one listen or recording is a unique experience than it would be contrasted with the next time you listen to it.
When they sent out that Voyager spacecraft, you know, the one with all the messages to space aliens,
yes,
out there that one day they're going to find and come and get us.
Yeah, I remember.
They sent out a phonograph record, a record.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, because they figured any alien race would be able to play a record. I remember when I was a kid, and I actually stuck a needle, like, you know, a clothespin needle, on a record, and I could hear what was on the record without putting the needle of the record player on it. That was amazing to me. That's the kind of thing you can do with something analog, and we figure any species out there will have the ability to do that. Now, you send out a CD, it's not going to be quite the same, and they're going to have a very particular type of technology to be able to play it. The same thing with digital files. There are digital files that we, the human race, have created in the past that we, the human race, cannot play today because the program is no longer supported, or it's outdated, or the standards have changed. Not so with analog devices. They're just there. It's like a newspaper. You know, it's there until it deteriorates, but it's always going to be readable in that state. Books, etc. Whereas something digital, it's dependent on the device you're reading it on. It's dependent on the file format. So these are things to keep in mind, preserving history and making things compatible.
Yeah, I think the word that comes to mind is portability, mm-hmm. The ability for things to be used across platforms and across time.
Yes.
That's the real tricky thing.
We don't think about that enough. We don't think about time. We don't think about, okay, what's going to happen, you know, 20 years down the road, even 10 years down the road.
Will all my ebooks work on my watch, my smartwatch? I can't read Dostoevsky on my wrist or something. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these conscious interfaces, the conscious engineering needs to maybe support a bit more forward thinking than just a product.
It's fun, you know, the Apple Watch. Wow, okay, that sounds like something to be excited about for a day. But what is the big draw for that kind of thing? Why is everybody thrilled about this? It's a watch. Okay, you know, I'm happy people are telling time, because Americans don't seem to care about time. We can't have, even if we have clocks around, they're never telling the right time. Look at a publicly accessible clock in a train station, on a church tower, or anywhere, and I guarantee you it's telling the wrong time. And that's not the case in places like Germany or Holland or Switzerland.
I have two theories.
All right.
Two things that I think contribute to this product being popular. I think the appearance of ignoring people when you're looking at a smartphone, I think that's become rude. And a watch is the one form factor that you can sneak a glance at, and it's perfectly socially acceptable.
But all you can do is sneak a glance at it. If you stare at a watch for more than 5 seconds, people are going to think you're a moron.
Right, but you could also get it to vibrate or otherwise notify you. So that's one thing. The other thing is the popularity of health monitoring hardware. I think that's become pretty ubiquitous in the last year.
Because of all the cell phones we've been carrying with us, now we need to monitor our health on our wrist all the time.
Right. I mean, I think that's, you know, drones and tablets, that's like the new hot thing. Like, people have these just like ankle bracelets basically telling all their vital statistics over Bluetooth to their phone or something. It's crazy. I don't know.
My God, Apple watches could become wrist bracelets, even more so than they already are, that tell the authorities where you are and that you're staying within the boundaries that they set for you.
Wow, that would be a really interesting feature. And if your blood pressure is elevated and you're nervous and thinking lustful thoughts.
All these science fiction horror tales are coming true. Brave New World, 1984, you name it. Every futuristic vision is just playing out. Dick Tracy, for God's sake, they had the watch in that comic in like the 19 whatever that was, 40s. It's amazing to see these things come to fruition, or whatever the word is.
It's funny. Yeah, and that's what Yeah, so that's real. Yeah, the Dick Tracy watch, and so you can get all your friends calling you and scream at your wrist. but we'll have to tell Apple that it would be a good idea to put health monitoring in the Apple Watch. I'm sure they haven't
sure
thought of that.
I'm sure somebody is working on that right now and, like, yelling at the radio saying, I'm doing it, damn it.
like
my idea.
5,000 emails. I just want to inform you that they thought of that.
Yeah.
They sold it.
Well, it's not out yet. The Apple Watch, everybody got excited about it. It's not even out.
That's true. It's not out. But user interfaces, they're all around us, and we need to give them more feedback. The engineers, the people that are designing things, because we interact with them, and I think a lot gets lost when they're cross-eyed over their bottom line. I don't know. Just there's not enough focus on things that work properly and have the actual function and the audience in mind. But we have you in mind.
Yeah, we do. And we have you in our call letters, too. WUSB.
We do.
There cannot be a USB without you. Oh, wow. I just think I came up with the Radiothon slogan.
That was snazzy.
Yeah. No, that should be it. That's good. I like that. No USB without you.
You can't have WUSB without you.
Yes.
There's no you. There's no WUSB without you.
You also no WUSB without BS, because that, oops, I'm sorry, I hit the microphone again. I do that when I get excited.
One more time.
No USB without BS, because those are call letters as well. Regardless, let's read a listener letter, because we get those. We get,
yes, please.
otw@2600.com is our email address, and you can write to us. Anyone can write to us and spout forth their thoughts.
Take it away.
In much the same way that we spout our thoughts. Aaron writes, I hope that your comment on daylight savings time will being able to melt more was a joke. But because I skip through often, I don't always catch the full story. Whether we call it 6 or 7 a.m. or 5 to 6 p.m., the same amount of sunlight will still hit the Earth at that latitude. You seem to be begging for an argument. You know what? I was begging for an argument, but we were having some technical issues, and unfortunately, Aaron, I'm glad you caught it. I'm glad you appreciated it, but Kyle had his hands full with the phones that were going on the wrong lines, which I'll explain that in a second. But yeah, you know, I just came up with a theory that daylight savings time happened about 10 days ago, and I just wanted to say, because I can basically put forth theories and make them believable to people, because either they're not listening to me or because I can actually fool people. I convinced people there were two Indias on a map, because if you look at most maps, they put the United States in the middle, and they don't really care what they do to Asia. So oftentimes there's an India on the right and an India on the left. And I tell people the India on the left is the one Columbus found, and the India on the right is the other one. I've gotten a lot of mileage on that. In this particular case, I was hoping to be able to prove that by moving the clocks forward 1 hour and having that extra hour of daylight in the afternoon, that was more significant in melting snow, because that hour came after a full day of sunlight, as opposed to the hour that you're losing at the beginning of the day, which comes after dark. So therefore, you don't melt as much snow. I had it all worked out, and I said all that, and Kyle basically just said, oh, okay, because he was worried about the phones, which was a very good thing to worry about, because they were going all crazy last week.
Well, in my defense, yes. I sort of got the joke, but I was not really paying attention. I was definitely focusing on trying to get some calls and figuring out what the heck we were dealing with as far as the phone lines, but I really dislike when people do that kind of stuff, especially people you trust. You're like, you know, going along, and then I feel like joking around with people like that actually breeds more of that kind of, I don't know, is that sarcasm?
I like to call it just, you know, fake science.
Buffoonery? I don't know, but just people making someone feel gullible, right? Because they trust you, they're your friend, and you lead them on, and then, you know, make them look like a dork.
I didn't think
them look stupid, no, and then they go and treat other people that way. No, I'm convinced, because I've been that person. I had a friend, I'm not going to out him right now, but he did that to me, and I vowed I'm going to be that kind of jerk to people.
I did not think for a second that you would agree with me. I never thought that. Never thought that you would actually say, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, the sun's out later, so it's going to melt more. No, I thought you were going to jump on me and attack me mercilessly. That's what I was looking forward to.
The timing was awful, though.
Yeah, it was.
Look, I mean, the delay was noticeable. I'm sure if you go back and listen to it, I'm like, and it's like 15 seconds of me thinking. And then I'm like, the cache always catches up. I always get right back up, and I'll answer, oh, yeah, no, that's BS, whatever you're saying.
Well, you know, we have somebody to blame for this, fortunately, so that we can take the pressure off ourselves. And the people to blame for this, the State University of New York, or the State University of New York at Stony Brook, I'm not sure which entity to blame.
This caused a huge hubbub in the
chain
radio
reaction,
station.
A chain reaction of horrible events. But basically, what started out, the phone was working properly. All you people calling last week, I'm so sorry, because the phones were lit up, except they were the wrong lines. They were the office lines that were lit up. And we can't pick up lines that aren't our lines. The office lines are for people in the office dealing with radio station business. We don't want to put them on the air because, well, those people might be boring, or they might not want to be on the air, or they might start off by cussing or something inappropriate. So we had the phone ringing nonstop. We couldn't turn it off because that's another design flaw around here. And we couldn't get our lines to light up. The reason that happened was because, unbeknownst to us, I'm sorry, that's my cell phone making noise.
Shame bringing your phone in.
Unbeknownst to us, the phone line had been rewired. And unlike the analog phones, where you can simply plug another phone in, when you rewire a phone here, it brings a whole different set of lines into play, and they didn't match. So the lines don't show up in the same place. So, and again, whoever did this didn't write down anywhere that they did it, so we had no idea that that's what happened. We just knew that all the lines were wrong. Why did this have to happen in the first place? Because our wires were destroyed. The phone wires were destroyed. Why were the phone wires destroyed, you may ask? Well, the phone wires were destroyed because in our ceiling we have a whole colony of squirrels that are running around, and this has been going on literally for years. The university's response when we report this is to come around after a few days. Actually, like six state workers come around with a basket, some kind of a trap. They trap a squirrel after a couple more days. And then they think their job is done, because how could there be more than one squirrel? So the same pattern keeps repeating over and over and over again. And while they're up there, you know, there's not a whole lot of acorns up in the ceiling. There's a lot of wires, and I don't know why squirrels chew wires, but they do. And it's our wires they chew, it's our equipment they destroy, and that's one of the side effects of having rodents in the ceiling. And we can't do anything about it because we're part of the university, and the university has to deal with this, and they're not, and this is basically the reason why everything unraveled.
This is a gosh darn wake-up call, Stony Brook, okay?
Yeah.
There are no acorns in the ceiling.
No, maybe if we put acorns in the ceiling, they wouldn't chew the wires.
Listen to me. Listen to me, Stony Brook. There are no acorns in the ceiling.
Here's the thing, too. You know, whenever you mention this, and we're doing the same thing, you just feel this urge to make a joke about it. And whenever we do this, it doesn't matter how high-ranking the person is. You know, Obama could be in the neighborhood. We could mention it to him. He's going to make a joke about squirrels. You can't help yourself. I know, but the fact is, it's a fire hazard. It's a safety hazard. It's destroying our equipment. It needs to be dealt with. The problem is, this building is sort of semi-condemned right now. They're going to be imploding it or tearing it down or just doing something to it because it was A, built wrong, B, it's falling apart, and C, they're bored and they need to do something.
Don't skip over that.
We need to have our new facility in place, and we could be there right now. We have a facility that we had an architect map it all out. It's perfect. It's in the middle of the Student Activity Center, and it's sitting empty. I don't know why. It's state bureaucracy. This place needs to expand, get space that it deserves. The people who work here every day are doing such an incredible job. They need to have equipment that works. They need to have space to move around in, not be dealing with squirrels in the roof and overheated rooms and me hitting the microphone. You know why I keep hitting the microphone? Because it's so cramped in here.
That's it.
I don't have space to wave my arms around.
That's three strikes. I warned you earlier. You're getting one notch.
All right.
Yeah, listen. I'm turning you down.
All right, one notch. I'm sorry.
One full notch. Here we go.
I'll keep my arms behind my back. But that's really it in a nutshell, and that's not a joke about squirrels.
Yeah, that was like right there. Oh man. Well, so for everyone's everyone who's a producer, just so you know, I put a little X on the phone next to the line that rings, so you'll be able to see that. And oh my gosh,
what does that beep mean? That was a horrible beep.
Is that it? That wasn't programmed. What was?
We have to deal with that noise now? That's awful. That wasn't there before. I don't know what that means. Well, let's...
Oh, 6 looks like it's stuck. Is that always the case?
Oh, you're pressing a touch tone?
One of the buttons is smashed down.
It wasn't before. Like 5 minutes ago, I don't think it was, because you put the dial tone on the air. Well, you need to unstick that 6. We can't take phone calls with a 6 being hit the whole time.
I think I just hung up on somebody accidentally. I'm really sorry. Okay, 6 is up.
Okay, you're fine. Yeah, but you really have to avoid turning that dial because of that staticky noise every time you do it. That's awful, too.
Yeah, but this is good.
That's fine. But you know, it would be better if there was a caller on the other end of it. And all right. There can be a caller on the other end if they call us, and now we know where the phone lines are going to show up. 631-632-6901. They will show up in a random, well, not a random place, but a weird place, and we know to go there now. We're going to go into delay. And hopefully somebody will call in and we can speak to them live on the air.
Yes, yes. Please call in.
This is Robert Klein speaking to you from WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. Get me out of here.
And, all right, I think I'm on the air now. I just have to look at the...
I can verify that you are in the air because I was listening 7
yeah.
seconds later.
Yeah, that seems like it's working just fine. So, yeah, like we said, please call in 631-632-6901. That's
you didn't give the phone number for that guy that you keep giving the phone number for. I'm happy. You gave our phone number. For weeks, Kyle was giving a different phone number just out of force of habit, and I think some poor guy was getting woken up.
Yeah, it happens. It's a rodeo here sometimes, but
it's our rodeo.
In any event, we've got a full switchboard here.
Well, then why aren't we picking up the phones?
That's a good question. Hello, you're on Off the Wall. Turn your radio down, please.
Hello, how are you?
pretty well. How are you? Whoa!
Oh, that's awesome. What do we want to talk about?
You tell us.
Yeah, go ahead. We're ready for you. What can we answer? What anything we spoke about speak to you, or do you have any thoughts?
Anything good? How about good girlfriends and good relationships?
Okay, all right. That sounds like something to be really.
Yeah, we have 13 minutes.
Really thankful for. But I'm sure a lot of people can relate. You have a particularly heartwarming or rough story. What's got you in the mood?
Well, I tell you, I just. Went through a heck of a divorce, and wasn't looking for anybody, and all of a sudden an innocent angel came my way, just as a friend of a friend. Never thought anything, never thought we'd ever... person saw her once a year for 6 years at my friend's birthday, kid's birthday party, uh-huh. And we would always, you know, hang out and just talk and, you know, innocent things, real nice things. And then next thing you know, her marriage and relationship kind of went out the door, and as soon as I had the opportunity, you know, just again, innocently just hung out and madly in love, and 5 years later, here we are, and living together, and she's just nothing but extreme awesomeness. It's really, really, really amazing. I'm a lucky guy. I had a lot of obstacles at one point in my not-so-distant past to get through, and boy, oh boy, talk about having a supporter, a proud supporter of you know, you as or me as an individual, really amazing. I never ever thought I would come across someone that would could support my ideas, my actions, my thoughts, and you know, not just be a yes person either. You know, she's a very intuitive, witty, wonderful girl, and it's just awesome. I just.
Well, I, you know, we're not used to hearing such good news, but In closing, you could tell us, tell our listeners, maybe a little bit of advice for people who might be facing kind of a rocky road.
Wow, I'm the last guy. I can only speak based on my experience, but, you know, I didn't go out looking to replace a lost love in my life. I didn't settle. It's just, you know, I wasn't looking. And you know, not looking kept my guard open for, or my vision open for something that may be good, instead of always, you know, I've got friends that are just on the path of, oh, I got to get a girlfriend.
Right.
Well, they've had them come and go, and they've not been good.
Right.
Relationships haven't been, because they anticipate too much. You know, I think they just expect too much. And I guess at that point in my life, I just didn't expect anything, because me personally, if I don't expect anything, I can't get disappointed. A lot of people have high expectations of others.
Right.
They always get disappointed. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the thing of the day. You know, don't expect much from others. You won't be disappointed. I don't know if that's a real good outlook, but for me, it's work.
Right. Oh, and thank you very much for that call. Sorry to cut you off there. We've only got a couple minutes left.
Did you hang up on a happy guy?
I did. I accidentally hit the button.
Well,
and kept...
Congratulations to you, sir, and best of luck with all that. And what he says is true, not only for relationships, but
yep.
jobs and all kinds of other things.
I was going to say, please spread that around. I think plenty of people could use some of that advice and good fortune. So good luck to you, and thanks for that. Next caller. Hello, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Well, not much. Hey, how you doing? What's going on in your world?
Not much, man. We're just renovating my friend's new house in Patchogue right now.
Awesome, cool. Well, thanks for listening. So you're listening over the radio waves then, huh?
Yeah, big time, bro.
That's how you do it when you're out that, like, doing some renovations and construction work.
Hold on. You're working on a holiday?
Yeah, dude, we work, man.
That's right. Fit it in, but put your feet up too. You know, it's almost evening time, and it is a holiday, as E points out. Do you have
any? Thanks, man. Have you St. Patrick's Day, right?
Awesome. Hey, you guys, be careful and have fun out there.
Take it easy, man.
Yeah. Good night. Next caller. Hey, you're on Off the Wall. What's up?
Hey, how's everybody?
We're good. I think everyone's okay around here.
Glad to hear it. I got first of all, two quick questions. I'll give the quicker one first, I guess. Are you guys going to Dayton this year?
The Dayton Hamvention. That must be what you mean, because what else could possibly be happening in Dayton?
That's correct.
I didn't mean that to come out as an insult. Kyle, you're writing something. Are we... I don't know. I can't read that first letter. Oh, I know what you're saying. Dayton, probably not.
Yeah, I wanted to know if I can announce this.
Yes, but we're going to something else.
Right. We're going to be at the Vintage Computer Festival, which is in Jersey?
Yes.
It is in Jersey. I don't know exactly the city. You can look it up. But the Vintage Computer Festival guys are having their annual get-together and conference, and we're going to be there over the weekend. We're going to bring the van out and look at some old computers, look at some old technology. They're actually helping us out with one of our machines, and it's the first time that we've been to that event, so we're going to check that out to kind of get the spring and summer here going.
Well, we do recommend people go to the Dayton Hamvention, because that's a gathering. It's like a mecca of ham radio people and electronic enthusiasts of all sorts.
It's got a huge swap meet, too.
Yeah. Are you going?
Actually, this is going to be my first year. I'm going to try to make it, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy yourself out there. That is a lot of fun. It's been a little bit for us. Maybe we'll catch it the next time around. But
not a big deal.
Check it out.
12 hours for us to drive there in the van, so that's a commitment, you know.
Yeah, you ain't kidding about that. The second question is, I have to ask. Okay.
Uh huh.
The squirrels in the ceiling.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Just so I understand, I've been in that studio a couple times before. Now, you guys mean to tell me that above your head, where you guys sit in the studio in that area, there are actual real squirrels?
Yes, there are.
Yes.
That is a fact.
Yes.
As crazy as that sounds, that is a fact.
Yeah, there's...
crazy.
there's other producers that'll be in here, and they can hear scurrying and all kinds of evidence.
And you can sometimes hear blood-curdling screams when the squirrels fall out of the ceiling and there people are live on the mic.
Have you ever had one, actually, I don't know if you guys still spin actual vinyl there, but have you ever had one land on the turntable and have them spin around?
You see, this is coming close to a squirrel joke. No, that's never happened because we don't play vinyl all that often, and the squirrels don't actually fall out of the ceiling all that often. And for the two to happen at the same time, I think would be very, very unlikely.
But there's a lot of interesting programming and a huge library that USB sports. So maybe if we get more people interested in playing vinyl, the likelihood of that will increase because that would be adorable.
Yeah, it would. Actually, I had a teacher in high school who I swore had a squirrel on his head as a toupee. All I needed was a chin strap, but it was actually pretty funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. Cool. All right. Well, hey, have a good evening, and thanks for the call.
Okay.
Well, you know, we might have time for one more call if somebody else calls in.
We might have time if I turn your microphone up.
I'm sorry. 631-632-6901 is our phone number. But we're pretty much running out of time, so if anyone out there wants to call in, now is the time to do it. We got a fair amount of calls out there.
Yeah, we were making up definitely for the mix-up last week, but it's so cool to chat with people and hear all kinds of different things, even things we weren't talking about. That's
and next
great.
Week is Radiothon, so we can't take phone calls next week.
Oh, my goodness.
Except for pledges. So.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So if you want to call, you better call now, 631-632-6901, and Finn is at the door, so I know that we won't have too much more of time this week. So, yeah. But... you know, squirrels, St. Patrick's Day, relationships, we've pretty much covered it tonight, I think.
We have. We got a lot of interesting calls, and we basically covered a lot of the topics that occurred to us. And we mean what we said about some of the dilapidation, dare I say, around here. And it's not a negative thing. It's something that the station's working on, something that we're hopeful about. And yeah, it's not right that something so cool as a radio station, a communications resource, a huge megaphone like this, to just basically be in a building that nobody has any future hope of investing in, so we're going to suffer. And that could really make us vulnerable at a time when we're actually trying to move to the next building. So this fund drive is going to be important, but more importantly, getting some of those problems worked out. All the listeners, all the producers here, we really want to come together and show that the station's got a lot of unity and it matters and that we're not going anywhere.
It's very easy to write off radio and to say that people don't listen to radio anymore. It's old technology, kind of like what we were talking about before with vinyl and analog phone lines and things like that. But if you go around the world as we do, and if you even stay locally, you will see how vital radio actually remains, especially a station like this. We're really the only community radio station on the island that is part of both a campus and a community. We have over 100 people of various skills and levels of expertise who contribute to this place. It is an amazing melting pot of knowledge and music and experiences. This place is priceless, but it's very easy for somebody in a position of power to say, oh, you know, I can get all that on my iPad. Well, you can't. iPod, I meant to say. You can't. You can't get that. You can't get this kind of uniqueness. You can't get this kind of community. And to see the amount of students who are involved now is really inspiring because they get it. Young people get it today. So this place not only needs to be preserved, it needs to prosper, needs to expand, needs to grow. And that's the kind of thing that I hope people see. I hope people in power at the university see that, so we don't have to, you know, years from now, we won't be talking to you from a huddled over studio that's too small with squirrels, you know, and overheating and things like that going on around us.
No, and we won't, and it's just too cool. I mean, when we were in Germany, a quick story, the use of...
How did that happen?
The use of analog, and people tell us, oh, we don't use AM radio. AM radio isn't here. We're in Austria talking about that. And then we would go and drive our, you know, car at night and be DXing, going around listening to far-flung stations.
We are Tunisia on the AM radio.
There's amazingly cool things about radio that we need to teach and share and let kind of other people in so they can play with those things and push the limits even further and really take that art, the art of communication, to a whole nother level.
Yes.
So we'll probably be speaking more about this stuff as the fund drive rolls near.
I think so.
But for that evening, I think we're ready to go.
Well, we need to get exit delay first.
Okay, we're back, right. And I just need to listen to the program. Hold on. And I need to turn the delay down so that I can hear myself. And I can't hear myself because the switch doesn't work.
You were talking over yourself. That's what happens.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are both back from delay, and I played over myself in delay. That's why it sounded like crap.
So what people forget is that it doesn't take any time to come back from delay. It takes 7 seconds to go into delay, but you actually come out of delay 7 seconds before delay ends. So you talk over yourself sometimes.
Apologies to the last couple people that called. We'll get to you next week.
Our email address, otw@2600.com.
All right. For E and Kyle, good night, everybody.
To my vow.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Gathers. And now my watch begins. It shall not end until my death.
I shall take no wife, hold no lands,
father no children.
I shall wear no crowns,
and win no glory.
I shall live and die
on my post.
I am the sword in the darkness. I am the watcher on the walls. I am the shield that guards the realm of men. I pledge my life and honor to tonight's watch for this night and all the nights to come.
Night gathers, my watch begins. The manifest till death and it shall not end. I take no wife, no land, father, no children. I wear no crown, win no glory, and I shall not bend. I am the shield that's here to guard the realms of men. I've been in hell, so stop asking where the hell I've been. I am the sword in the darkness, the watcher of war. That means I'm heartless. Bigger they come, harder they fall. I pledge my life and my honor to the night watch. For this night and nights to come, I give my life watch. See the black crow, watcher of all, some call us black brothers. Ice blocks colder than yours, we wear them black colors. Are you even man enough to take the oath? Man enough to take the dagger to a throat? Or are you only man enough when it matters the most? What's the matter? You was thinking your life matter? It don't.
You know what leadership means? It means that the person in charge gets second guessed by every clever little twat with a mouth. But if he starts second guessing himself, that's the
I
end.
I am the sword in the darkness, the watcher of war. That means I'm heartless. Bigger they come, harder they fall. Are you even man enough to take the oath? Man enough to take a dagger to a throat? Or are you only man enough when it matters the most? What's the matter? You was thinking your life matter, it don't.
This is not the end. Not for us. Not if you lot do your duty for however long it takes to beat them back.
Thank you.
it's Finn with you. Finn's Revolution until 9 p.m. It's St. Patty's Day. We're going to be celebrating mainly with the music of Mr. Shane McGowan, but we'll take your requests too. Hit me on Facebook at Finn Miller. I'll be the guy with the Viking hat on, and send me your suggestions. Meanwhile, let's get to it.
This is called "This Is My Sword Fall From Christ's Bread God." America nuts.
I met my love by the gasworks wall. Dream the dream by the old canal. I kiss my girl by the factory wall.
dirty old town, dirty old town. Clouds are drifting across the moon. Cats are prowling on their beat. Springs a girl from the streets at night. Dirty old town, dirty old town. On the smoky wind. Dirty old town, dirty old town. I'm gonna make me a picture box, shining steel, tempered in the fire. I'll chop you down like an old Dutch tree. Dirty old town, dirty old town. I met my love by the gasworks wall. Dreamed a dream by the old canal. I kissed my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town.
Yeah, of course, naturally, the Pogues right there, Dirty Old Town, from Rum, Sodomy, and The Lash. And, you know, this is St. Patrick's Day. We're going to be dipping into some of your requests, and but mainly concentrating on the music that has spewed forth from Mr. Shane McGowan and company, the Pogues, the Popes, and various other formats of bands. And, you know, St. Patrick's Day often associated with, you know, as a religious holiday for some Irish Catholics, and this is, I guess, Shane's version of that right here on WUSB Stony Brook. My name is Finn. I shall be with you until 9 p.m.